See, tesho, true tesho, should resonate with each student in the room as to where they are. Tesho simply means holding up the living word. I've only been around three people in my life that could give tesho. See, Mizumi Roshi, and not always tesho, you see, but sometimes exquisitely so. The last time I heard him talk publicly was on Kai. And for me at least, those of you who know me and know of my journey, and I talk about my journey, one of the most painful and perhaps the most rewarding, I can say this in retrospect, at the time I couldn't, rewarding Dokusan was a killing Dokusan over Kai. And Kai, we're talking here precepts, if you like. And this was Mizumi Roshi's favorite talk. And this was the last talk he gave publicly. It was given at Tokubetsu. This is the month-long we did up in San Francisco, in Green Gulch, actually. And I'm not sure anybody heard him. But it was such a stunning talk that when he had finished, and it was a rainy, the record rains and storm and mud, see, and he had left with several of the other of his successors and a couple of people from San Francisco, and I was stumbling around inside this yurt-type structure that we were in. And when I jumped up, I was just stunned by this talk. And I turned and I shouted something, "Did you hear that talk? Did you hear that talk?" And I looked at, and I'm really getting good at this, I'm not bringing up names. Some of these are famous names. See, I looked at this person and said, "Did you hear that talk?" And I realized that person had little orphan Annie eyes. They were blank, and they had not heard the talk. See, so I'm stumbling around, I get out the door, and there's this maybe 100 feet, 150 feet, you know, up to a bridge. We were staying, all Roshi's successors, and we're staying in one of the buildings there across this canal. And it was, of course, raging flood. And as I came out, mud, rain, I've got my robes on, my things, I slip on my mud boots, see, and I see Roshi with these people on the bridge. And I start running. And I must have looked ridiculous in the mud. And I was conscious of this big grin that was frozen to my face. And as I ran there, the group was on the bridge. And as I got closer, all of a sudden Roshi turned. And the katsu I have, he turned with that katsu, see. And he stood there watching me run in the mud. And as I say, I even had a sense of how ridiculous I must look, see. And when I got up to him, the first thing he said to me, "Was you like my talk, Nyogen?" Now, that's an interesting thing. See, what kind of a connection was there? See, and if you don't understand the stories, see, you won't get it. See, "You like my talk, Nyogen." I said, "Roshi, that was the most amazing talk." And I'm bubbling over. I don't have the vocabulary to express to him. See, he had soared. He had flew. He had gone beyond the mundane. He had transcended the realm of birth and death with this amazing talk. See, and what did he do after my response? He turned to the group there and he said, after, and I forget how many years now, he said, after, I think he said 25 years or 27 years, because he died shortly after that, see. He said, "This is the first time Nyogen has ever told me that he likes my talk." And the funny part was, it was absolutely true. But I felt, you know, 27 years, he should have grown up by then. So I gave him the final approval. Now, for me, the crucible. When I went up to Mountain Center, and this Kai, see, and there's this thing called a killing Dokusan. And again, I'm not even sure that I should be talking about these things. However, see, it is a deep testing place. And I used to think that the teacher engineered it. The teacher doesn't engineer it. It's the student who walk themselves into that hell realm. And Yang Wu talks about it. And he says, though, then he said, the teacher, See, has to go down into the fire with the student. He actually makes that statement. See, the teacher will then go down into the fire with the student. Well, I'd gone up to Mountain Center. I think everyone here knows that I lived at the lake, which was just, I ride my bike to the Mountain Center, see. I got there, and Tenshin, who is at the head of the Mountain Center now, see, he said, Nyogen, go see Roshi. Roshi wants to talk to you. So I went on up, because I would always stay where Roshi was. There's a sliding shoji screen. He would stay during Sesshin in his Doksan room, and I would stay in the other room, see. And so I went on up. He was at the table. And he said, Nyogen, I want you to give a talk. I said, okay, Roshi. And he said, what you want to talk on? And I said, well, Roshi, I'll talk on Muji, because I still was so unhappy that I felt my grasp of Muji was still so tenuous. See, that this profound state. See, and so I said, Muji, which in many instances is the first koan, some of you know this, it's the first koan that we give to a koan. The sound of one hand clapping, your face before your parents are born, gute's one finger. See, so I said, well, I'll talk on Muji. And he said, no. And it was devastating to me. See, it was again the pinprick into the ego. See, the testing, pinprick into the ego. No. See, I'm sitting there, see, and I'm already in a state of panic. See, and see, I'm not good enough. He has people there that I don't hold in high regard. See, I've actually talked to him about it, what I considered a real, true limitation of their grasp of Buddha Dharma, not living intellectual. See, and he tells me, no, you're not even good enough. He didn't say that. Not good enough to talk on Muji. See, well, see, I sort of sat there numb. I said, well, what do you want me to talk on? He said, talk on Kai. See, well, when you're in your ego, see, and you're trapped in your head, you don't see reality. Now, I've talked about several of the openings I've had with Maizumi Roshi where I would not hear him. See, here, talk on Kai. Do you know something? I had never heard Roshi ask anyone to talk on Kai. And Kai was what he most profoundly appreciated. Went completely past me. So I was devastated. I went into Doksan that evening, and we had this really horrific experience for myself. I've told you, if it could have been chronicled, it was classic. My body went into contortions in the Doksan room. See, I was in such an absolute hell realm. See, and I know none of you believe it. You still think that you can fake it. See, my body contorted, it twitched to the side, and I pitched over face first onto the Doksan room. See, was there communication? Yes. I kept sort of bubbling, it's not you, Roshi. It's not you, Roshi. And Roshi had always met me with a fist, and he would generally do it publicly. See, and I had never, as I say, to the day I had no sense that he even liked me, and I was absolutely certain I was the most inferior student. I was the only one who really couldn't appreciate the profound nature of koans the way Maizumi could do it, see. And there I was, pitched down there, and he said just a couple of words, but they were so filled with love and protection. And all he said to me was, I know. I know. And he'd been there. And if you haven't been there, you won't know. And it made everything absolutely right. He was still, it was a very, very difficult time. So I went to bed that night, and about 3:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, a flashlight goes on my face, see? And he looks down at me, and he said, Nyogen, are you all right? And I said, yes, Roshi, I'm still here, which is okay, see? And then he says to me, what are you going to talk on? And I said, Kai. And he said, good. And when I gave that talk on Kai, I knew I was finished. See, and I've told you all this, see? But this becomes a rather profound, and I'm trying to sort of lead us into something. This relationship, This transmission, see, is not something to be slighted. It isn't something that you can think your way into. See, it is profound. It is deep. And it has come, see, from 81 generations down to here. It limped into here, kind of crippled, bandaged. See, a refugee from the war, but what the heck? If a battlefield is only one moving body, that's what you go to. Can you appreciate that, Ishan? See, and I looked up and saw Roshi was sitting at the far end. We were at Mountain Center, see, at the far end of the hall. And he immediately got up before I even could finish the, I had finished the talk, but before, got up and he left. And his Jisha told me later on, she said he had gone into the Doksan room, he lit incense, the candle and incense, and she said he started doing bows, deep bows, and he was crying. And he said, my Nyogen has come out. My Nyogen, what is he talking about here? See, what are we talking about? See, do you really believe what Buddha Dharma is? Do you believe that it's true? Even though the vast majority of people out there who claim to be Buddhist or to be spiritual in any sense will say that you're a foolish, that you're chasing illusions. See, that there is nothing here but just a fantasy, something, a make-believe world. Now, in this center here, in this group right here, there's a couple of folks here that are beginning to see, beginning to experience, see, the reality, the truth of what this is. And you know the interesting part about it? It isn't going to something. It's not that they're becoming inflated and very important. They're learning to become, as the first koan Roshi gave me, the least grain of sand on the beach. If you can't enter through that, see, through that tiny needle opening, see, you will never know what Buddha Dharma is.